Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Fungula. Our guest this week is speaker, author, who has a new book out right now called The Purpose Mandate, former baseball player, musician, and mine and Manny's very good friend, Pedro LaTorre, joins us this week on the podcast. This conversation was so deep, y'all. We went so deep. We didn't even get into attitudes and gratitudes until like the last 4 minutes of the episode. We went deep immediately. It was such a good conversation. I am walking away from this conversation super encouraged, inspired, and all of the things that he does as a speaker. He did it on this episode. So before you listen to it, don't forget to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Tell everybody why you love this podcast. And don't forget to call us. Tell us what you're grateful for or what you're mad about. Or if you have a question, you need advice on anything, Danielle will give you all the information on how you can reach out to us.
Yes, so give us a call or text us at 747-300-5380. Don't forget to tell us your name. And you can email us at fungulapodcast@gmail.com. Also tell us your name there. Sometimes your email doesn't give it away. And of course, on angela.com, there's a form you can fill out there as well.
And enjoy this episode with our friend, Pedro LaTorre. We just want to have fun. Want to know where we're at in life?
Yes.
This is so we went to Alabama good. For the weekend.
That sounds
and
horrible.
Yesterday my whole calf up to like behind, what is this, quad? What's behind your thigh? Yeah. Hamstring. What's quad?
Quad's front.
Front.
So this part.
Oh, okay. Quads. Quads. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Quadriceps.
Okay, so behind here, hamstring, and my calf was like tightening up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having Manny like push on it, like walk on it with his heel. Obviously not his full pressure,
but
I was
pressure
just like,
on it.
Oh my God, like what is happening? Like how did this even happen? Did I sleep on it wrong? Like what the heck? Nah, bro. The day before, I did a cartwheel. Get out of town. A cartwheel?
I don't even know if I could still do a cartwheel.
That's what I was like.
You're like, I can do a cartwheel.
Oh, please.
Next day.
Yeah, because there was one of the kids, I don't know how old she is, maybe 12. She was doing like, she's a cheerleader, so she was doing her like round off, back handspring, back tuck, and like all this kind of stuff. And I was like, oh man, I was like, well, let me hit her with a round off real quick.
Ooh.
That you didn't stretch for? Or,
no. Yeah. Did not stretch for.
It's a little
for.
High impact too on the landing.
Because that's why I was like, it's just a round off. It's just a.
It's just.
Cartwheel. Why do I need a stretch?
It's just an urgent care appointment waiting to happen.
My God, and it didn't really hurt. Mm. Like when I landed, I was like, oh, like it was like a hard landing. I was like, oh, okay. And then my wrists were like, oh, that was a lot of weight on my wrists.
Yeah.
But that's all I felt. Then I was fine.
I know about
the
this.
Next day. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even in the morning. It was like, I was fine. It was after the drive back sitting there.
The sitting.
I was like, oh,
I feel things.
Something's happening.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a doozy.
Been there. Been there. I love it.
So one cartwheel almost
one
took me
cartwheel
out.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I do yard work, and the next day I feel like I was in an accident, a car accident.
What? high impact collision.
Seriously.
No, I was
lawn
just
mowing?
Pulling weeds.
No, not even lawn mowing. Yeah, pulling weeds. That I got like a tightness in my low back this morning from pulling weeds.
That's wild, bro.
Mm.
How old are you now?
I didn't think we were talking about that. What are we here to discuss? I'll be 40 in September.
Congratulations.
Isn't that crazy?
Big 4-0.
Welcome to this side.
Are we having a big bash?
Yeah,
yeah.
What are we doing?
I don't know. I wanted to do something for myself.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to go to New York and rent
okay.
a place out like on a high floor of a building and write music and hang with friends and eat good food. And then my wife's like, without us? And I was like, oh, right. I should probably think of my family, too.
Without us?
Yeah. My wife ain't missing a party. So.
You're like, oh, hey. You wanted to be there?
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, we should figure something out with
but
that.
But also, yes, sure, celebrate with your family because you love your family.
Maybe both.
But also, you're going to be 40.
Yeah, it's
That's
big.
A big deal.
It is big.
And to someone who is a Enneagram 4 as yourself.
Yes.
Who feels and processes and all the things.
Yep.
You have to take time
yep.
for yourself as a human.
Yep.
And being like, wow, I'm a man on a journey. I'm a human man on a journey. Let's reflect. Let's do all the things. Doing something that fills your cup, like going to New York and having that moment or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do it, bro.
Yeah, I need to.
Do if so let's say you get it for 3 days.
Yeah.
Do the first two yourself.
Yeah.
And then bring Jesse in. And the kids for the last day and live it up or something. But go to Yankees game. You have to do something for yourself like that.
I need to. I need it.
How are you? Are you feeling excited about it? Sad about it? Melancholy? Like, do you have any feels about it?
I got some feels about it. I've been like almost, I've romanticized it, I think, for a long time. Like, I'm so excited to be 40. Like, this is what an honor that I get to turn 40.
Do you have any feels about it?
Like, I do.
What is it?
Yes.
What are we feeling?
More aches and pains in my body.
Uh-huh.
More inflammation.
Yeah.
Less MSG needs to happen in my life going forward.
Really? Do you eat a lot of MSG in your diet?
No, I don't.
No, you're super healthy.
Sure. Mm, yes, I receive that.
Really? You're not? I mean, I know you're gluten-free and all that.
I am, yes. I am. I actually went to a clinic and they said, you're the healthiest person we've ever seen in this clinic. And I was like,
stop.
What?
Yeah.
I almost
danced. Invoiced them when you left.
Yeah, exactly. but then they were like, but your blood pressure, you need to get, it needs to come down a little bit.
They're like, but you are Puerto Rican.
I was like, yeah. And I have a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old. Like, you can't control that. It's part of my deal. Okay. Turning 40, it's come in waves. So at first I romanticized it and I was like, I get to turn 40. This is amazing. I remember my parents turning 40 and I remember thinking they were dinosaurs. And I've been excited about it. And then as I've gotten closer, I think I've felt sad. Mm-hmm. And sad to leave my 30s. Mm-hmm. Sad about all the pretending I did along the way. We can talk more about that. So I've felt some... And it's good grief. Like, none of it's like catastrophic trauma grief. It's it's just good. I think there's going to be some good tears.
I love it.
Along the way. And then, you know, there's things in our life now that we feel like we've bought into because it's Western and it's 21st century and it's whatever, our church background or friends or whatever. And we've bought into certain things about money, about meaning, about family. Mm. And we're kind of like peeling back all those layers. We're like, why do we do that? And why do we think that? And why are we just doing what everybody else does in this?
Mm-hmm.
Where's our voice? Like, what's the thing we're passionate about?
Mm.
And I think for a lot of years, I lost my voice. And so as I get closer to 40, I think I'm grieving some of that. I'm also excited simultaneously. So I think it's gladness I feel. I'm also glad about the new me that I'm getting to meet every day and that I'm proud of, and the father I'm becoming and the husband I'm becoming.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then there's a trail of crazy behind that of things I wish I would have done different. But I'm learning and I'm accepting more.
Hey, I have a question about like your process.
Mm.
Are there certain questions you ask yourself as you're processing your grief in turning 40? Or is it just things come up? And then how do you journal it, or you just talk to God, or you just think? Is it all internal? Do you process it with your wife? Is it how... Tell me, invite me into your process.
I think
I invite myself into your process.
Welcome. I'm glad you came. I think it's all of that. I think sometimes it's journaling. Sometimes it's I feel something. It catches me off guard. Like, and I'm going about my normal day like everybody, doing the groceries and the things and the kids and the shuttling. And something comes up and I'm like, what's that? What is that? I think one thing 6 years of therapy has given me, the gift it's given me, is being able to name what I feel and not be scared of my feelings. Like, as a man especially, that's something that's very taboo still in our culture today, is like men talking about emotions and feelings, and we're supposed to be hard and tough. And then you put like any sort of faith filter over that and it gets even more like suppressed, don't feel, that's not holy, it's not spiritual.
Just give it to God.
He's in control. And if you're feeling things, it's because you don't have faith. And I've actually learned the opposite is true, is that people who have faith are people who feel and tell the truth about it. so that they can bring their real self to God. Mm. And so that's been the journey. So I don't know. It's journaling. It's writing music. It's stumbling across a sentence in a book. It's a billboard. I mean, it could be anything for me.
Yeah.
As a four, Enneagram four, I feel like I'm an open source, like an open circuit, mm-hmm. like that anybody could plug into at any moment, mm-hmm. right? And that comes with beauty because I can connect with just about anybody anywhere, but mm-hmm. it also comes with a level of exhaustion and fatigue. So I have to recharge a lot more than most people.
How do you recharge?
Being alone. Mm-hmm. Being alone or with a close friend. After this, you know, anytime I'm doing anything where there's any level of give mm-hmm. that comes from, even just share and give, I schedule time with friends. So one of my friends is coming down from DC right now. And right after this at 2:30, we'll go grab food and eat and hang and kick it and laugh. And
amazing you got your friend to come all the way from DC
not just for that
I got a podcast interview.
I'm gonna need you
can you come
No, he's getting a tattoo and doing all kinds of cool stuff, but
that's fun.
But yeah, he's somebody I've done a lot of my kind of what I would call recovery work, recovering myself, recovering my heart work with him for many, many years, probably a decade. And
how cool to have somebody like that.
Yeah, so it's somebody that I can leave here and know they're going to be like, how are you? Mm. Are you good? Like, mm-hmm. is there anything you have any debris from that?
Yeah.
I spent a lot of years performing. Yeah. And so that performing in unhealthy ways led to a lot of patterns that I still am working through. I slide into grooves sometimes without knowing it. And it's mm-hmm. like, I'm still learning to just be me.
Yeah.
And be comfortable with me. It's hard to love yourself when you've worked so hard to be lovable for so long. And you're like, the more I get alone with myself, the older I get, the more comfortable I'm getting with me. And it goes through waves. Mm-hmm. Today hopefully is one of those good waves where I'm like, I'm just going to be me and just show up with my friend and hang out.
Do you, first of all, I haven't even shared with everybody. Pedro is
like, who is
one of our
guy?
Best friends.
I'm their landscaper.
We are family. We are full on. Let me see. You toured with Manny for a little while, Group One Crew. And then me and Manny started dating. And Jesse tells a story of because his last girlfriend before me, her last name was Johnson.
That's right.
And I guess they had broken up and then he started dating me, but nobody knew. Mm-hmm. But then Jesse was like, hey, you still dating that Johnson girl? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I told you about her.
Mm-hmm.
You know about this? And he was like, she goes, yeah, we met her.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, oh, no, a different Johnson girl now.
Yeah.
So I've known you guys since me and Manny started dating and then just been family with you guys ever since and love you guys to pieces so much.
I love you guys.
And so I'm glad you're here sitting down with us on this podcast. And I know, because I know you, I'm like, oh, this will be a fantastic conversation and we'll just go to the deepest abyss of the ocean and then pop back up
for fun.
Yeah, total. But I was gonna ask you, do you see some of yourself, meaning like your four, your processy, your in emotion, your the way you give of yourself energy wise or maybe people take energy from you not knowing it, but because that's just how you are. Do you see any of that in your kids?
Some. Yeah, a little bit. I mean, how much of that is like nature nurture? Like how much were they born with? I don't know.
Sure.
How much are they picking up? I mean, I'm teaching both my kids very actively how to navigate the emotional realm. Mm. Like actively.
Like so what are some tips? Like how, give me some tips.
Okay, I'll give you like the, so, you know, I do a lot of coaching with men now around the heart. And that's a big part of my life, my work I do. So there's three main things about feelings that are pretty simple. One is feelings are neutral. They're not bad or good. They're just neutral. They're like in your car, like a light goes off. It's not like you're going to break down right now. It's usually like, hey, you should maybe get gas or like whatever. It's neutral. Feelings are necessary. Like feelings are necessary. Like we can't have relationship. Anybody can't have relationship without feelings because all of our life is sourced from feelings, whether we like it or not, we deny it or not. So they're necessary. And then all feelings, if we feel them, we tell the truth about them, they lead us to our needs. Mm. So feelings make us needy, but neediness is the essence of being human. Like mm-hmm. that's what it means to be human. Mm. So feelings are neutral, necessary, and they all lead us to needs. So I'm helping my kids understand, like, when you feel fear, like, you're not bad for feeling fear. You're not broken because you feel fear. It's like, oh, that's good. What is the fear teaching you? What is it telling you? What is your need in it? And mm-hmm. when you're feeling afraid, you need protection. You need help. You need mm-hmm. refuge. Whereas in a lot of the Christian world I've come from, you felt fear and it was like, oh, God didn't give you a spirit of fear. And, you know, all the mm-hmm. all the scriptures. And you're like, mm-hmm. Well, and so I remember sitting with an amazing friend and counselor. His name is Jeff Schulte here in Nashville. He's one of the best brilliant minds around the heart. And he blends sort of the clinical world with the Christian faith. Mm-hmm. And he just said, you know, feelings are a part of you, Pedro. They're part of God's design for you. And I was like, wait, what? Like, mm-hmm. I thought I was supposed to be running from these things. Mm-hmm. And he said, to not feel is to not be human. Mm-hmm. And there was this freedom that kind of entered my life and story. And the second thing he said that changed my life was, he didn't give you a spirit of fear. That's true. But he did give you a feeling of fear. And those are different things. Mm-hmm. And so beginning to see that, if I don't tell the truth about the feeling of fear, you know what it becomes? It becomes a spiritual matter at that point. Now you're in the anxiety and depression and apathy and you're disconnected.
Shoot.
If I tell the truth about what I feel, now all of a sudden I go get my needs met in healthy ways because we're needy people. We're going to get our needs met one way or the other.
Right.
So when a kid feels fear, they get their needs met. They scream, they rage, mm-hmm. they throw fits. And well, we do too as adults. It just looks different. It looks like gambling and drinking and, you know, whatever it is. Uh-huh. But we got our own versions of that.
Wow.
So it's been helpful. And I'm trying to train my kids and, hey, like, what are you feeling? So we don't shame them for feeling things. Now, if they're hurting people with their feelings, if they're weaponizing their feelings, if they're manipulating with their feelings, which we know the kids can do that, mm-hmm. those are different conversations.
And adults too.
And adults too. Been there. Uh-huh. So we just help them tell the truth about what. So every day we do a check-in. We have a check-in in our house multiple times throughout the day, sometimes on the way to baseball or basketball or soccer or dance for Noe.
And how does that go?
We all go around in the car. And so I say, my name is Pedro. Today I feel fear, sad, lonely, anger, shame, guilt, glad. I name all, there's 8 core feelings. I name all the ones I feel in that moment I'm experiencing. And then everyone says, when I'm done, I say, I think that's all I'm going to share. And they go, thank you for sharing, Dad. And then Jesse goes, and then Noe goes, and then Justice goes, and we all do that. And so we've normalized emotions, you know, and we can at just about any given day, we kind of get a feel for what our kids are carrying, if it's shame, if it's guilt. And there's healthy versions of all those feelings, and there's unhealthy versions of all those feelings.
Do you, in this check-in, like how you said, I think that's all I'm sharing today, is there ever like follow-up? Like if Justice were to be like, I feel shame, I feel guilt, blah, 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 then you say like...
So once everybody goes, we say, would you like to share more? And the floor, we say the floor is open. It was kind of a fun little, the floor is open, mic's on. And you know, so Noe's the funniest. She's 5 and spicy. And so she's like, yeah, I'm angry. And my friends, like, they're rude. And she'll just like tell her stories, like, you know, just how she feels it. And she'll throw her hair and the whole thing. It's amazing. And I put the rearview mirror back and I just watch her because it's beautiful. And then, you know, Justice is pretty sensitive and aware. And so, you know, he's 10 now. And so he'll name what he feels and then he'll talk about why. And sometimes, you know, we get indicted in his feelings. It's like, well, y'all won't let me play the Switch. And me and mom are both like, I'm like gripping the wheel like the boy just, you know. So, you know, but again, and then I'll share too. And, you know, as a man, I'd be honest on a podcast like this, as a man, there's times where maybe I'm thinking about, you know, money, or I'm afraid of, you know, I feel inadequate as a father, or I raged last night on my kids and I shouldn't have, and I still haven't apologized or whatever it is. Or me and mom are got some spicy tension going on. Mm-hmm. We're about to be 16 years, and July 18th will be 16 years.
Wow.
And so we got some spice in our, you know, we're working through something or whatever. And so what we call it in our house is we right size our feelings for our kids. And so I'm not going to be like, yeah, I'm freaked out. I don't know if y'all are going to eat today. And I'm just scared, you know, right. Like right size it. Like,
yeah,
you know, I feel like I've been thinking a lot about money and I really need to just trust God with that. And that's a right size. It's like, okay, we're not falling apart. Like you still can do traveling team baseball. You'll be all right. But whatever it is, there is room for that. And sometimes they don't want to, which is kind of crazy. Sometimes they just want to be seen and heard, and that was enough for them, and they want to change the subject and jump out of it, and we roll with that. So we're not forcing them into their heart. We're just letting them know their heart is welcome here and what they feel is welcome here.
That's so cool.
And it's paid dividends, and I could share stories for days on how that's paid dividends and things they saw spending the night at somebody's house. They're like, yo, they put on YouTube and one of the commercials, and it was just something inappropriate, not crazy bad, but it, you know, my heart's open. This is where I bring my heart. We sit around the table and talk about real things. Like, I don't need to fake here. Like, and so I hope that continues. You know, I'm sure we'll go through iterations like everything, but yeah. So check in. So I check in my prayer. If you want to know, I don't share with everybody, but my prayer life, that's how my prayer life starts, is, hey God, it's me again. And I feel fear. I feel sad. I feel lonely. I feel shame. I feel guilt. I did on the way here on the car ride over in the quiet.
Wow.
And none of those feelings define me. None of those feelings are me. Uh-huh. They're clouds that are passing. And I know they'll come strong in moments and sometimes lighter, and they'll pass. But while they're over top of me, I go, what do you have to teach me? Mm-hmm. Where am I needy? And that's why that's why I'm spending time with Adam. I mean, I got my house up for sale right now. We got so many different things going on. We're leaving for vacation. There's all these millions of pieces. And I carved, 7 hours with a friend because I know I'm feeling some things. I'm feeling grief. I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling lonely. Mm. Feel disconnected. And that's, none of those things can rule me if I'm willing to see them. Yeah. Like they don't rule me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure even like what you were saying earlier about the questions of like, why are we doing certain things? Like, 'cause Western culture and blah, 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 blah. And assuming that has stuff to do with putting your house up for sale.
Yeah.
So even if you come to a conclusion in your mind, being like, hey, why are we doing certain things? Is this really benefiting us? Blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And then getting to the decision of like, all right, we're going to sell the house because this is wise and this is what we feel we're supposed to do. Even in that, knowing you're making a wise decision, the grief,
lots of it,
in letting go of an old mind frame around something that was so pillar in your guys's life.
Yep.
That is hard.
Very.
That, when we left Castlewoods, muggle.
Talk about that.
That house was a manifestation of my dreams, literal dreams. I have this picture of when I was a young dreamer girl, early 20s, in Hollywood. I'm going to be an actress. I'm going to do all these things, blah, 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 blah. I used to drive up to the hill, the top of the hill, and sometimes like Mulholland, I would look over like Burbank area. Sometimes I'm looking over like Sunset area, like different parts of the hill. I would go up, and it'd be at night, and I would look at the lights of the buildings, and it'd be so dreamy to me. And I would just look out. I'm like, look at all this life happening, and like it was just, I would dream all the dreams of what I wanted for my life, what I wanted it to look like, and I would dream, someday I want this view from my home to look out at the city.
Mm.
Like, that would be amazing. I'm in my early 20s. Then, cut to, let me see, that's like early 2000s. Now we're like 2015, I think, is when we moved to our house in the hills.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a picture. I now have this view overlooking the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget who it was. Maybe it was Penelope or somebody took a picture of me looking out at the city, right? And I have it side by side with a picture of me when I was younger.
Whoa.
Looking out at the city. And these side by side views.
Whoa.
Of this dream that I wanted. And I brought it into my life. Me and God, we brought it in. Yeah. Like, God heard my heart.
Yeah.
And he heard my prayers. He saw my dreams. Yeah. And we went after it.
Yeah.
And we got it. Mm-hmm. And like, here was this like beautiful blessing. Like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. And we had an amazing time in that home.
Yeah.
And now granted, we, you know, had some issues with it. It wasn't, the home itself wasn't like our dream home. We had like lawsuits with builders. And like, it was a whole like drama, of course. But
when it came time to sell it, we were making a wise decision.
Mm.
We knew this was wise.
Yeah.
We should be doing this. When I tell you the grief, the brokenness that I felt, even though I knew it was right,
yeah,
I would go in my backyard and weep over my trees that I wasn't going to see my trees. These are my trees.
Yeah.
And now I'm leaving them.
Yeah.
And my garden and just all the memories, seeing all the memories. We were only there for 5 years, but seeing all the memories from the pool, from our barbecues, the view, just sitting on my balcony looking at the view. I'm not going to have this view anymore. And I wanted this view my whole life.
Yeah.
This is what I wanted my whole life. And now I'm here and I'm giving it up? The heck? What is going on?
It's a challenge to give up something you prayed for.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oof.
You know?
Say that.
Like, I have the same memories of my Burbank apartment and standing on that balcony praying that I can keep that apartment forever. And then gave it away so willingly. Being like, but I prayed for this. And God was like, give it away. Like, but you gave it to me. And he said, okay. Yeah, now we give it away.
Yeah.
It's tough. But you know in your heart it's the right move.
And then, so when I first left the house and I didn't have my view, I kept trying to replicate that, right? And we would look at other homes and I'm like,
and he got the view.
It doesn't have the view, and I wanted this my whole life. Then I realized, it's okay for your dreams to change. I was holding on to an old dream. That dream was so beautiful and I loved it. Oh, it made my heart flutter. It doesn't do that anymore. Because I've driven up to the top of the mountain and I've looked at it. It's still beautiful. But it doesn't take me to this place with God anymore. Like it used to. So then I'm also grieving my dream. Like, oh no, I don't, that dream doesn't serve me anymore. It doesn't make me have butterflies anymore. Well, then what the heck? Then what's the new dream? And grieving that and letting that go. And being okay with, well, okay, I don't have this view anymore. Well, that's okay because the view doesn't do anything for me anymore. Okay. And then like moving here and there, and then we end up in Nashville. Didn't know that was going to be a thing. Like, end up with a daughter. Didn't know that was going to be a thing.
Heyo.
So it's so interesting bringing it back around to you and your situation of like, and then your house is up for sale and you're grieving and you're turning 40, you're processing, blah, 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 blah. There are so many opportunities in your life to grieve and process and let go. And then in the same way, positioning your hands to receive as you let go, like letting go of the tight grip, and giving that to God, and then still remaining in this receiving position for like whatever is next, whatever dream is next, whatever home is next, whatever season is next, whatever fatherhood looks like next in this next season, as your kids are growing, as you're growing, what marriage looks like in this next season, like so many new new things.
And you can't I had a friend say, you can't surrender what you're not willing to see. And so grief is an opportunity to see, and to yourself, to see yourself. I got another buddy who's in Texas, Midland, Texas. You've been there. And he, I'll never forget, I was processing purpose and what my life's purpose is. Like, what am I here for? Like, you know, Christian culture taught me this, and my gifts tell me that, and my intuition is saying this, and you know, I'm praying and I feel that. And they say, they seemed all fractured. And he reframed life completely to this end of everything we're talking about. He said, you know, Pedro, the purpose of life, the meaning of life, if I could keep it simple, is this. He's like, don't forget this. And it's, I don't know if you've ever had somebody say, don't forget this. Like if they're passing or it's like, it pins itself to your heart. And this is one of those moments. I don't have very many of those moments. This is one of them in Midland, Texas. I was there speaking at an event. And he said, you know, God doesn't use people to get things done, Pedro. And he just paused. And I was like, Well, yeah, he does. Like, that's the whole Bible, isn't it? Like, isn't that the freaking thing? Like, who? What
if you was can this? Use anything, use me.
Yeah. What is? Is this a Hallmark card? Like, and he just kind of paused, but I felt it. I felt the weight of it, and I knew something was coming. He said, "God doesn't use people to get things done. He uses things to get people done." He said, "None of the things you're doing in your life have anything to do about a big cosmic God needing you to go do something in the world. You think he needs you to do anything? You're standing in the middle of outer space floating on a planet. He doesn't need you." Everything happening in your life is about you coming back home to how he made you to be, who he made you to be. So come back home. And I was like, oh God. Like, I left his truck in Midland, Texas. I remember getting on the flight, being at the airport, and I was like, what just happened? Like, I couldn't. It's like you hear a quote like that and you know it's like an excavation tool. Mm. It's like, okay, it cracked something and it hurt and it felt weird. And I don't want to process it, but I keep coming back. I'm like, what does this mean? And as I get older, and I've been with that quote now for over a decade, that has become one of like my North Star ideas that has guided my life. Like, what if God doesn't need you to go do anything? What if he's not waiting on you to be impressive? What if your dreams and all of those things are just an extension of your identity, of how he made you, which is ultimately an extension of him? And so the reason why they're not fulfilling, the reason why the house eventually isn't enough, is because it's coming from an unlimited source, and you're trying to find unlimited love and unlimited acceptance and unlimited peace from a limited, finite thing. And you're not meant to find it in that thing. Mm-hmm. So the dream feels big at first because it is big. It's divine. Mm-hmm. And you're catching some divine thing when you write a song or you tell a joke or you unlock something that unlocks humans in front of you. It is divine. It is cosmic. It is big. But you can't put that in a bottle. Like, you don't get to decide how long it lasts, like a star. Like, you don't get to say how long that star lives. You just got to carry it for the season you got to carry it. And all dreams eventually come to a death, because they're all pointing to a bigger thing, a bigger being, a bigger force, whatever that is for you. For me, that's God and the person of Jesus. And so that idea is like, oh, none of these things were meant to satisfy me. Wow. Baseball wasn't meant to satisfy me. Drumming wasn't meant to satisfy me. Speaking isn't meant to satisfy me. Writing books isn't going to satisfy me. Now, I'll get a type of satisfaction from them for a season, for a moment. Dang. So then you got to go back to like, I say this all the time with my kids, like, what's your definition of success? And they hate it because they don't understand it, which is fine. Again, it might be decades of life where they're like, okay, what? But we all define success in some way. Like, we just do. There's an old man. He was a newspaper writer for an old Herald way back in the day, like hundreds of years ago. And he wrote, and I happened to find it at 17 years old, this article, but he had a quote in it. And it was probably the second thing that pinned in my heart and that I've never forgotten. It's been the source of every work, every message I've ever spoken about, every time I speak, anything I'm chasing after. And he said, "Unhappiness is not knowing what you want and killing yourself to get it." Ugh. And we all have our own version of unhappiness, like things that, well, why am I not happy? I got the house, I got the thing. Why is it not fulfilling me like I thought it would fulfill me? It does for a season. And I think this is why, to be honest, like, I've gone through over the last 6 years a lot in my spiritual life of unpacking sort of how I see God, how I was trained, taught to see God. And the reason I keep coming back to God is because it's the only place that I can honestly say I found a happiness that doesn't go out of style. Like, it doesn't get old. Like, it's like it's like a warm blanket. It's like a coming home. Every time I come back, not to my ideas about God, but to just the presence, the person. And that's what's kept me probably in the faith, because there's a lot of seasons over the last 6-7 years where I was like, I don't know if I'm down with all this like this. And most Christians I know are not the kind of people I want to hang out with most days. And I've had to go through my own excavation of going like, oh, wait, but like, I'm a lot more like them than I want to admit. Is a saying in therapy world. They say, if you spot it, you got it.
Oh,
so like if you can, yeah, as a little sniper.
Hold on.
And so that's helped me a lot, because it's like a lot of the people that I've at times been most hurt by are in the church, are in church bases, or Christians call themselves Christians. And I've had to work through that and also go like, well, shoot, I'm more like them than I'd like to admit, though. Dang. And then now that's the birthplace of something new. Is there's empathy in that. And there's compassion in that. And that has taken me a long way in the relationships with my father, my mother, healing. There's a lot behind that. But what if there's a lot attached to our definition of success? And most of us don't get still enough just to simply say, how am I currently defining success? Like, what does it mean to live a fulfilling, successful, meaningful life? And it freaks me out a bit as a four to think about, we measure everything in this world. Our TV size, our waistline, for better, for worse, till death do us part. You know, our beauty, our wrinkles, how we look, we can measure the stars and how far distances speed. But you ask anybody what's their definition of success, no one has the same thing. Like, what's the meaning of life? No one has the same, wait a minute, why do we agree on all these other measurements, but there aren't some like core things that we can all come back to be like, and I'm finding now getting close to 40, oh, there are, and there have been for thousands of years. And we just got to get still enough to actually ask the question of like, how am I currently defining success? And what might I let go of? What might be true of my life if I redefined success for myself with God, with my friends, with my wife, my spouse? And that's a pretty exciting question to ask as you get older.
Yeah. I have a question in regards to your, you mentioned a second ago, I forget how you phrased it, but like you're pursuing God over the past few years of like the thing that's kept you connected to faith, because there's been times where you're like, well, I don't know if I believe this anymore or whatever. And I guess my question is, how do you stay connected to God, like not religion or a belief way that you've been taught, but like God, to where it's still, he's still exciting to you? I'm trying to remember the words that you just said, but he's
home.
He's still a home safe. After all of these, like, oh, I'm hurt by this person in the church and blah, 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 blah. Like, how do you pursue like God?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the question we're all trying to wrestle through, is like, how do we keep going in this? I think part of it is separation. Like, I had to separate the people from the person. And so it's like, if you, you know, if you based, you know, you were wearing a Bruno Mars shirt, if you based Bruno Mars and on hanging out with all his fans, that's not the same. They are in his music. They are in his culture. They buy his stuff. They support the cause. They're down. They're an advocate. Mm-hmm. They bring their friends, like the whole thing. That's kind of like church. And it's like, well, you wouldn't say like you've been with Bruno Mars, though. Like, you wouldn't say you're like tight with Bruno just because you hang out with all these people and you buy the thing and you go on all the tour dates, 30 shows all over the world. And you go. It's like, well, you wouldn't say you're like you're tight with Bruno, though. Like, y'all kick it in the green room. You know what I mean? Y'all do cold plunges together. Yeah. So it's that. It's like, I had to separate. Like, okay, these people aren't bad. Like, they're followers trying to figure out the way of this person that is mysterious. And that's the second one. I had to accept that God has mystery. Like, I think it's so strange to me to be in Christian spaces that sounds so certain of everything. That freaks me out. Like, it freaks me out. I get really uncomfortable.
Yes.
Because, not because God didn't reveal himself, and because there aren't things that he did say about that I believe are true and that are, we can all say are true because God said them and whatever. Like, yeah, I'm down for that. But like, why is he so simple all of a sudden? The people who walked with him in the flesh, Jesus, what I believe is in the flesh, God in the flesh incarnate, 2,000 years ago, they were confused about this dude. And they're walking with him.
Yeah.
They're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Why aren't we going where the momentum is? Why aren't we doing that? Why did you heal? Like, why did you spit in that brother's eyes? And why did you pray over that one? And then he got, why didn't you spit in both eyes? Like, they could not understand. He was so mysterious. His love was scandalous. Like, he loved hanging out with prostitutes and Pharisees. And I mean, and then we're all like, oh, well, I don't know if you can wear that skirt, sister. It's a little high. And it's like, do you realize the kind of people he kicked it with? And he came for sick people. And it's like sick people didn't get well by understanding him. They got well by being needy. They got well by being needy. And I think people in the church forget being needy. I think we come to God because we're needy, but then we fix ourselves up and we perform for him because we were not supposed to be needy anymore. And it's like, dude, I was on tour a long time ago with this, it doesn't matter who, with these people.
Group on crew? Just kidding. Yeah.
I was managing Angela Johnson's tour. Remember when I did that?
Oh, yeah, you did.
Snap. No, I was out with Bethel Music, and, you know, there was a girl on the tour, her and her husband, the Helzers. I don't know if you ever met them, but Melissa Helzer. And she has a lot of, at the time, I don't know if she still does, I hope she doesn't, but she had a lot of physical issues that she had grown up with and inflammation in her body, and her body kind of fighting itself. And she was feeling it really
bad. Is this
story
a HIPAA violation right now?
No, not at all. I love that. And so we're in like, you know, the Carolinas or Virginia or something on this tour. And you could just see her like fighting to get to the stage, like to try to give whatever she had left in a day. It was so sad. And I'll never forget, we're backstage at this little theater or whatever. And she comes around the circle and kind of all just highs and lows of the day, talking about whatever. Would you feel? Would you experience? How do we show up tonight? And she just kind of flippantly threw out one of those, probably the third pin to my heart, little quote. And my body can remember them. It's weird. Yeah. Like I can feel them in my body even now as I talk about it. But she said, you know, the older I get, I keep trying to mature out of my dependence on God. And I think the whole Christian life is about maturing into your dependence on God. And it wrecked me. I remember going to the bus and getting in my bunk and writing it down and sitting with it and I cried because I was like, my whole life has been trying to be dependent. Yeah. My whole life has been trying to perform for God. Because I've been performing. If I got to perform for mom and I got to perform for dad, and dad leaves when I'm a kid and tells me I'm a man of the house and I'm supposed to do this, my whole life has felt like one gigantic freaking responsibility. Of course I'm going to perform for God. If they're the image of God in my life, my family, like, of course I'm going to dance for him. So as I get older, I think I want to get, as weird as it sounds, and I know it's not 21st century man stuff, like, it doesn't make good for, you know, like, hardcore, like, rah, rah. But it's true. Like, I want to become more dependent on him. I want to accept mystery in my life, that I don't understand anything, and that good people die of deadly, nasty diseases, and that I don't have an answer for that, and I don't understand. But I'll tell you what, I'll sit in the sadness of it with you. And my stepfather is, like, one of the nicest, sweetest people you'll ever meet. He's gone through terrible things in his life. He's been the most generous, like financially generous, time generous people I know. And I'm watching him die in real time of Parkinson's disease. And I don't have a freaking answer for that. I don't have a cute Bible verse to put over that. Like, and then you read in the Bible where it's like all about, like, Jesus wept. He cried. Like, because there's no better response to painful things than to feel them. Richard Rohr has a quote, you know, maybe God didn't come to prove that he was God. He came to teach us how to be human. And I think that's, as I get older, I'm like, I think this whole thing is about becoming more human. I think it's like learning to cry, learning to feel, learning to name what's happening in your inner world. It's coming back home to yourself, not being afraid of your humanity. You know, you see that with old people, right? Like somebody who's tough their whole life, like New York mafia tough. And then on their deathbed, they turn into this soft little baby, and they're telling people how much they love them and how deep they feel about them. And how they love something they do. And when you do that, I love when you do that. And before, they never said, I love you. It was just, yeah, I got your back. You know, I got your back, Tony. I don't know why he's a mafia guy in my head, but it feels good. It feels right. And, you know, it's like, why do we wait? Why do we wait to get old, to get tender? Like, why do we do that? What are we scared of? And I don't want to wait to get old to be tender. And do I have to risk in that process? Yeah. I have to risk vulnerability. I have to risk perception of other people. But dang it, I want to get to the end of my life and be broken in. I want to have felt and lived and risked love and relationships. And dude, I've hurt a lot of people along that journey. And there's a lot of people who've hurt me. But that's an opportunity for God to get something done in me. Learn to forgive, son. Learn to forgive like I've forgiven you. Learn to love like I've loved you. And all I can say is I'm trying to get to separate his followers from him, the person that I've known and I've gotten to see and I sense and I feel and I know and yet I don't know. I think I'm getting comfortable with that. The mystery of him and how he moves through the world. I've seen people healed. I've seen miracles. I've seen crazy stuff that you can't explain. And then on an average Tuesday, I'm like, I don't even know if I believe in God, you know? And I'm okay with that because I think he's okay with that. I think he's okay. He's not looking for my certainty. He's looking for my yes. Will you show up today? Will you be with me today? Will you hang with me today? Will you come? Let me tell you who you are today. Yeah. And I'm a little more comfortable in that. Now, have I slowed down? I've slowed down a lot of the movement of my life, the speaking, the on the road. Yeah, but it's ironic how much I feel more at home being home. When I toured and I was on the road all the time, I would come home and I felt like I was staying in a hotel. Like the road felt like home to me. And I could never settle in at home. I didn't feel at home. And that was a metaphor for how I felt in here. I never felt at home. So I would be on the road, I didn't feel at home, but then I'm home and I don't feel at home. And all my friends' lives have gone on. And you're trying to jump back in, like, remember the joke and the thing? And they're like, what, bro? Like, that was like 3 years ago. You're like, well, no, it's yesterday. And they're like, no, you've been gone, bro. Like, you've been gone.
Wow.
And so I've learned to, like, I want to come back home. Henry Nouwen has a thing about being a wounded healer, old priest. And he talks about being a wounded healer. And I think that's kind of like my mantra every day right now is, like, I want to be a wounded healer. I don't want to be a healer because then I'm the guru and I got to have all the answers. I don't want to just live wounded because then I can't freaking have fun. I can't be cool. I can't dance at the party and like, because I'm just all up in my feels. I want to be a wounded healer, that I'm able to go to deep, dark places. But I think the whole point, I feel like I should say this, the whole point of healing, the whole point of coming home to yourself, the whole point is so you can carry joy again. It's so you can smile again, so you can laugh again, so you can feel alive again. And if somebody would have told me that at the beginning of all the work I just did for the last 6 or 7 years, I don't know, I got a lot more to go.
Yeah.
I would have been like, oh, I could get down with that.
Yeah.
But man, I have spent almost 40 years of my life not knowing what fun is while doing some of the coolest, funnest things in the world. Because I didn't know how to hold that anymore. Because I always felt like it was irresponsible to be having fun. Because at 7, dad says, you're the man of the house. Take care of your mom. Take care of your sister. Peace. And so that wound needed to be healed so I could carry joy. And now there is some responsibility in my life I have to carry. I get to carry. But it's not going to overtake me. It's not going to keep me from living. I want to live. I want to be alive.
Yeah. You've said a couple things that I keep coming back to. One, the image of Bruno Mars and the fans and like going to all the concerts and equating that to I know him.
Yeah.
How
it's dangerous.
We do that in our faith. How I've done that in, you know, getting caught up when I was like super active in the church and woo-woo-woo on the circuit. And and then even when I wasn't, but just doing the thing, like showing up every Sunday and doing my Bible study and doing, you know, my prayer time and almost like a checklist, you know?
Yep.
And not to say that I didn't come to know Jesus more in those moments, but just the visual that you painted is, I keep coming back to it, and it feels like very liberating, and I'm excited to go back to it later and process that a little bit more. But when you talked about the mystery of it, that somebody just sent me a video today, and I'm gonna butcher this, but a guy was speaking and he was saying, you know, like 58% of adults say they don't have purpose in their life. They don't know what their purpose is. And he brought out some statistic from some date around this year is when that took a deep dive of people not knowing their purpose in life and whatever. And he's like, you know what happened this year? And he pulls out his iPhone. He's like, this is what happened.
We live in an age of information.
Yeah.
But we crave mystery. And so he's going and he talks about the different sides of the brain and blah, 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 and all that stuff I'm going to butcher. But just even that, thinking about that, like, this is our society. It's like really hard to disconnect from a smartphone nowadays. We use it for our maps to get to wherever we're going when we're driving. Emails, what's the weather going to be like when we get there? I'm pulling out my smartphone. I use it for everything. Emails, for business, for everything. It's, I can't imagine myself disconnecting from it now in this day to turn the air temperature down. Right. I got to use my app. I can't imagine disconnecting from it because of how weaved it is into my everyday life.
Yeah.
But also how, what's the word? Detrimental? Yeah. I use that word and I use it incorrectly usually.
That feels good.
Well, it means
detrimental.
Like negative impact. Yes. Damaging. Is that what you're going for?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm with you.
How detrimental it is to our lives.
Yeah.
Because we were created with that craving for mystery because God is mystery.
Yeah.
And wanting to crave it, but now we're in the information age. So if it doesn't feel certain, then it doesn't feel right. So because we have Google here, so I can feel certain.
You got Reddit now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I can feel certain with this, but with you, I feel uncertain. And so like this feels right and this feels wrong, but you're like, no, no, no. But something internally is like, no, this is right.
Well, yes.
The heck?
This is going to be a little turn, but yes.
Okay, what?
There's nothing more mysterious than feeling like you matter and belong. So all of the searching we're doing for information is keeping us from our primal question. Our two primal questions in life is, do I matter and do I belong? Every human being that you've ever known is asking these two questions. Everyone. Doesn't matter how disconnected they seem from those or not. Everything we do is sourced from those two questions. Do I matter and do I belong? So let me unpack it. To matter, be significant, live in your purpose, live in your giftings, but not belong is what most celebrities feel. So you can't have one and not the other because then you're just, you're isolated. Not meant to live isolated. Okay, but what if I belong to a group of people, which is a lot of people in, I'll just pick on my own, a lot of people in the church world, like they feel like they belong to something, we're part of the thing, we wear the t-shirt, we got the coffee cup with the church name on it, and the pastor sells his book, and it's all cool, and it's, I'm not knocking any of that, but I belong to this thing, but I don't know like what my purpose is in life. So we got people leaving the church constantly, and I think the church should be leading the conversation on what purpose and meaning of life should be. Because we have this cosmic being who came down to get to die, to give himself for us. It's not just about sin and heaven and hell. I don't think that's the whole story. I think the whole story comes down to like a simple idea. He loved us so much that he did not want us to feel like we don't matter and we don't belong. The whole thing was, I want you to know you matter and belong, because when you do, guess what you create everywhere you go? Matter and belonging. You make sure every person you meet matters and belongs. If you've ever met, you've been this for me in my life. You're somebody who's famous, you're known, right? But I can bring a friend along to a party or whatever, and I know at some point you will go over, you will lock eyes with them, you will learn their name, you will know where they're from, you will know a couple things about them, you'll probably laugh with them, you'll know something significant about them. You don't have to do that. Like, you're at a place in your life, like, you don't have to do that. And they're probably not expecting you to in most cases, right? When somebody sees you and pauses to be with you, that's the greatest thing in life. There's nothing more mysterious than that. What is all of the information we find on our phones doing? Is it leading us to more of that? I matter and I belong. Nope. It's leading us to more fractured, more disconnected, more distracted. And all of the entities behind these, if you go just do a little deep dive, they are monetizing that fractured state in your brain. They live to make sure you don't. That's how it works. That's the game. So you got to be aware of that, and you've got to fight for your own voice, your own attention. And that doesn't have to mean like you be a monk, you know?
Sure.
Listen, I got two kids and one's in traveling sports and the other, you know, I got all the reasons to not pause and not get alone and not, I got all the reasons. I got a million. And sometimes I don't, cuz I'm busy and life, you know. But there's something inside of me, like a raging river, that is asking me to come attune, come be with me, come slow down a little bit. My counselor, Jeff Schulte, he said to me once, he was like, you can't even hear the sound of your heart. If your heart was a river, you can't even hear, you've forgotten where it is. You don't even know where it is anymore. I'm like, bro, what you talking about? I do. And I started naming all things I do, like as if what I do is who I am, which it was at that point in my life. And I couldn't even find where my heart was anymore, like what I felt, what I thought about things, what I liked, my preferences, my, you know, food, culture. Like I was so robotic and so do-oriented that I didn't even know who I was anymore. And he was like, our first session, he's like, I'm going to drill a hole in the river of your heart, and this is how it's going to work, and I want you to put your ear up to the hole. And I was like, what are you saying? It was metaphor, right? And at the end of that, I had heard my heart again for the first time, and I realized how much I lived in the two states that most people live in, which is suppressing my heart, pushing it down like a beach ball in a pool, or exaggerated state where it's shooting out the other way, right? You push something down long enough, opposite but equal reaction. That was my heart. I was just completely disconnected from it. I felt alone. I felt scared, but I didn't feel anything because I told myself that feelings made you look weak. And so I think all of us are wanting to matter.
Yeah.
We're all wanting to belong.
Yeah.
And the place you're supposed to find that is at home. And then you realize home didn't always do that. Maybe it did a version of that. Maybe it did it in some ways, but not others. And that's okay. You don't need to be mad at nobody.
Yeah.
But that's the work, is to come back home. And it's not always with your parents. Sometimes it's mainly with yourself.
Yeah.
To come back home to yourself.
Yeah.
And to go, why do I matter and belong? Because of what I do? Well, I hate to break it to you, but AI is going to take over most of the jobs. Elon Musk, in an interview recently, he said, they asked him, what's the biggest problem with AI you see in the near future? And, you know, you'd think he'd talk about like money and currency or, you know, some capitalistic approach or whatever. Nah, the first thing he said was meaning and purpose.
Wow.
Because we derive our meaning and purpose from what we do. Ugh. And when a robot takes over what we do, We have an identity crisis. Who are we now?
Oh, wow.
So before that happens, if you're watching, the work for us as human beings is to go, what if what I do is not who I am? What if I could separate, I say that word a lot, what if I could separate those two things, my being from my doing? What if I'm lovable and enough? And what if just because I'm here on the planet? John Bellion has a song about it, Stupid Deep.
Love
my favorite song of his.
It's on our worship playlist.
So, John, I just want to talk to you for a minute. No, I'm just kidding. It's on your worship playlist. Oh my God, Stupid Deep. Yeah.
It really is.
I love that song. Yeah, but that song, like, that's what he's saying. Like, what if the love we fought to feel was always free? Mm-hmm. That idea is like that. That song summed up my whole life, my whole story. Like, oh, I get that. I get that. And I've had to grieve a lot. A lot. I said, I'll never get on stage again. I'll never speak again. Because I was so mad at myself for not seeing what was really happening, that I was dancing and performing and earning love. I was trying to earn love. I wanted to matter and I wanted to belong. And coming home is, there is a God that you can't fully understand, but a love he gives freely if you'll just open your hands and accept it. And that was the beginning of transformation for me. So certainty, I feel certain about very little the older I get. I think I feel less certain, but I'm way more comfortable with that less certain part of me. And then ironically, the stuff you do freaking, you're like, no, I'll die on that. You know it now. You're like, oh yeah, I'll die on that. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am his son and he's crazy about me. And I could give you story after story after story. I give you a recent one that'll blow your mind. But every step of the way, I'm like, he's crazy. I don't understand it. I wouldn't be crazy about me. I'm just going to be honest. I don't even like being with me some days. But he loves me, and I am certain of that the older I get. And if he loves me like that, he probably loves other people like that because he's big. And that's what moves me into service.
Because that's his jam.
Because that's his jam.
That's his style.
Totally. So. Totally.
Listen,
Aki,
we didn't even get into attitudes and gratitudes because this was just the best conversation ever. So before we wrap it up,
I was like, I've got rapid fire we could do.
Yeah. Give me a attitude from your life. What gets on your nerves? What makes you mad?
Yeah.
And then give me a gratitude from your life.
Attitude would be, yes, easy. I hate superficial conversations. You probably know that. Go figure. So
well, then we'll just have to cut this whole
episode. The whole episode, and we'll try again another time.
Yeah. That's way to scratch the surface, Peter.
I know. That's definitely one. Yeah, I don't need to unpack that. Gratitude?
Uh-huh.
Like in real time, something I'm grateful for?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I'm grateful to feel. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but I feel like the all of the healing work has been about, I told you about coming home, right? But telling the truth about what I feel. I don't feel like I'm living hidden in any part of my life. And that feels amazing. I would call it like emotional sobriety. Like I feel emotional sobriety. And that's an unbelievable feeling.
Wow.
To feel like you haven't turned. There's no rock you've left unturned.
Wow.
And I don't need to come back to them every day now. I don't have to like wallow in it all anymore. So I'm deeply grateful that I've been given the gift of feeling and telling the truth about it, so I could free myself from the bondage of feeling in a cycle. Yeah. I'm actually moving through it. And sometimes, yeah, the idea of sitting with what you feel is still like, it's new and beautiful to me. Like being with your feelings, like I'm not my feelings, but I'll be with them. I'll sit with them.
That's cool.
That honestly saved, you guys know my wife, but it saved our marriage. My ability to actually feel, and then watching her go on a journey, name it, articulate, have words, it has saved our marriage. Literally saved our marriage.
Wow.
So I'm deeply That's grateful powerful. For the gift of that. Shout out to Jeff Schulte. That's the man who showed me my heart for the first time 6 years ago.
Well, this has been such a great deep conversation. Danielle has some rapid fire questions that are maybe a little more silly.
Can we do superficial?
Yeah, we're gonna dabble in superficial.
I don't know though, because I did.
Oh no,
I picked these with the guest in mind.
Oh so we might stay deep.
Oh gosh.
So these are just, she'll give you a situation, and then you just say, would you be grateful for this, or are you mad about this?
Okay, I'm gonna be truthful.
Mattitude or a gratitude?
Okay, I'm ready.
I know, I did. I really did think about you when I picked these. Okay. Are you grateful? Are you mad when kids ask why over and over and over again?
I mean, mad. you would think I'd be grateful, but listen, nothing more annoying than redundant questions.
Sure.
Why? I don't know. I don't know. Don't ask me anything else. Are you hungry? Why are you hungry? Why are you hungry? Why are you hungry again? We feed you every day. Why are you still hungry? That's honest.
That's good. Do you want to give your response to it as well?
Yeah. Well, we're not there yet with Rosie.
I was like, yeah, she might be still a little.
She's not in a questioning why. Oh, she's in coming. A no it's phase.
Coming. Oh, that's no. That one's hard.
No, I don't want to.
No turns to why.
Oh, and then now we're like, you need to be a good listener. And then she won't. And so like we're at this party this past weekend for 4th of July. And she was not being a good, and I'm telling her, and I'm like, you're not being a good listener. We're going to go home. I'm going to go tell Poppy right now that you're not being a good listener, blah, blah, whatever. We go outside, and I see her go with her little friend up to her friend's mom, and she goes, I'm not being a good listener.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and she goes, you're not. And she goes, my mommy said no, and I said, no, I'm not listening. And she goes, oh, okay. So, like,
dang.
Okay.
She's full on, like.
Full aware.
Yeah, aware that she's. No, I'm not going to listen.
No desire to change. Yeah.
That's pretty gangster, actually.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. That's some gangster stuff.
I'm not being a good listener.
I'm not being a good listener. It is what it is.
So deal with it.
Yeah.
Get over it.
Yeah.
Okay. Your next one. A meeting getting canceled last minute that you spent all day preparing for. Are you mad or are you grateful?
I'm grateful.
Yeah.
Even though you spent all day preparing?
Oh, heck yeah.
Still a canceled meeting.
Yeah. Well, because I get time back.
Yeah.
Anything that gives me time back. It's like saying like we got to cancel the party because the rain. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
I got to stay home and light a candle.
That's the introverted you.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. That's honest.
I love a canceled meeting.
You do.
I love it. But when you're prepared.
But if I've been preparing for all day, that adds a little bit of a like, here's why. Because.
That.
I'm going to have to reschedule this meeting.
That's right. And redo that whole train of thought.
And re-prepare myself. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
that's fair.
I'm like, man, I already, let's just do it.
Yeah.
Get it over
especially,
with.
Especially, and I'll chime in, especially if it already took me forever to get it scheduled.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's
and
true.
Then they're like, let's reschedule. And I'm like, but we worked so hard to get this date and time.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now I gotta find another one.
I say, but just, I am a fan of canceled meetings.
I am too. Yeah, and just prepare less. And yeah. then you don't have to, none of that. Don't be prepared. Just wing it.
Hi. Sorry, I was not prepared for this. I thought we were going to cancel.
I thought we were going to cancel, and so here I am. It's going to be fun.
And we still can. Yeah. You just want to hop off?
That brings me joy.
Okay. Splitting the check at dinner.
Hate it.
Okay.
Yeah, mad. I'm pissed. Pissed. I don't want to split it. No.
Yeah.
I first of all, I'd rather get the points. So
See?
Let me get them all. Mm-hmm. Let me get all them points.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, I don't like having it. We just had fun. We were connecting and it was real. Was like,
it changes the vibe.
Oh my God. And then it's like, hey, do you want to just Venmo me to do and all that? Yeah, and then it's like, yeah. Oh, then we're no. And then you're texting me a week later because I forgot because I was driving, God forbid, at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. But you wanted your little Venmo request right then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, and then it's a whole thing. Yeah. And then I do that, and then my accountant's like, hey, what's the, you didn't put any emojis in to tell me where to categorize this for QuickBooks.
Get out of town.
And then she's mad at me, and it's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. No, not, no, don't do that.
Are you the friend, like I, in my friend group, at least in LA, we have a token friend where we just always assume she's putting it on her card.
Yeah.
Because she's really adamant about the points. And, and then I'm like, I just expect a Venmo from her.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Sometimes we remind her. We go, hey, what do I owe you?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
But I'm like, we just kind of look at her like, you. All right.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of if it's like date night, whatever, like double dates. Mm. If it's either we'll get it this time, you guys get it next time.
Sure.
Or should we just do it down the middle? Great. Let's just do it down the middle.
That also works too.
I love a do it down the middle. Mm-hmm. Unless one party be full on bottles of wine, bottles of wine.
Yep.
And then other parties like, oh, we're sober right now.
Yeah.
And then you want to do it down the middle?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you who's pitching the do it down the middle idea. Right. It is not this side.
Yeah. It's always the Lil Wayne side.
Uh-huh.
That's like, we should do it down the middle.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, I'm sober 6 years. Like, what you? No. All I got was bread and like a
feel like you
snack.
Should, and if you are that person, I feel like you should be the one going like, I'll cover it, just
that's
Venmo.
Right.
Like,
you
if
should.
You had the higher side of the bill, I think you're the one that puts the card down.
And if it's a much
opinion.
Higher. If we're all just like, I ordered an extra appetizer, that I'm not talking about that.
Yeah.
I'm talking about you got three cocktails, and they were $23 each.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But I do, if it's just like me and one person, usually I'm like, well, we're sharing all the food anyway.
Uh-huh.
So just.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. self-checkout. How do we feel?
Oh, absolutely love. Like God's gift to an introvert.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Amazing. I just did it at Lowe's last night. At Lowe's.
Lowe's.
And those people are sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still don't want to talk to them. I love you, but I don't love you like that.
Uh-huh.
I got to use words. I've told you the coin analogy that I got. This goes to this. You have the coin analogy about energy. So like Simon Sinek has this thing where he talks about the coin analogy. I think you heard it from somebody else. The whole idea is introverts wake up with like 5 coins in the day, and every interaction, every loud place is like, oh, there's a coin, here, have my coin. And then once they're out of coins, they're out of coins. It'd be 11 a.m. I'm broke on energy. I got nothing left. Mm. Extroverts, they wake up with no coins.
Yes, I was just
thinking. Go to the coffee shop. They go to Lowe's. They ain't going to use self-check. I'm going to talk to somebody.
Uh-huh.
And everywhere they go, they're talk. That's my wife. I love her, but she can just fill it.
Uh-huh.
And then at the end of the day, she's like rich, and she's like, I got to stay up.
Look at all my coins.
I got to eat some cheese or something and watch a Netflix special.
I've never heard this, but as soon as you were saying it, I was like, well, I want to collect the coins. Like, that's where my brain was going. Because if there's a line of self-checkout, then there's this little lady on cashier number 5. I'm going, hey.
Yeah.
Cashier number 5.
Yeah.
I'm your lucky
Where are you from?
I'm like, what's up?
Yeah.
Like, how's your day been? I'm like, great. How's your day been?
Yeah.
I posted a story the other day, and I tagged your wife on it.
Okay.
And I didn't just tag her. Like, I put her name the biggest across the whole post.
I didn't see this
post.
Like,
to where you can't
you.
Even see the first and last letters, because I exaggerated it off the screen.
Good.
And it says, my special talent is telling you 50 stories while I'm only trying to tell you one.
That's it. That is 100% her special talent.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
She loves hearing her stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're amazing. They really are good. But you sometimes I have to be like, I don't need seven of them. I just need the one. Just give me the one. I'm not in the mood for the seven.
You should hear us trying to have a conversation.
Oh, yeah. No, no, I remember. Bing, 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 I remember. Bing, 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 bing. Yeah, I get the anxiety. The pinball machine.
Yeah. Both going, oh, wait, and then back to what I was saying before.
Yeah. It's kind of, if you let yourself enjoy it, it's like Wimbledon. It's like, it's like 10, is like, what is happening? Who has the ball? Where is the, is there even a ball? Are y'all imagining this all? It's crazy. There's not a conversation happening.
No, there, when Jesse and I are together, there is no moment of silence. Yeah. There is no lull in the conversation ever. Yep.
Hey.
But yeah.
That's a gift. It's a gift.
And I love, Jesse will find the smallest detail that does not matter to the story, but she wants you to know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, because we were at Thursday. Babe, was it Thursday or Friday?
Yes.
It was Thursday.
And I'm like, I'm lost.
And then, I think it was Friday.
I was wearing the red top.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Red. So it was Thursday. It was Thursday. 5 minutes later. Actually, it was Friday.
It was Friday for sure. Yeah.
You're like, that's my favorite.
Yep, yeah. That's her.
Love a good. Jesse Latore has gotten quite a few shout outs.
Yeah.
This podcast. I bring her up often. She's
full of joy.
She's one of my processors. She's one of, like, how you were talking about your friend that is like asking you the questions and whatnot. Yeah. Jesse is definitely that for me.
Yeah.
And I always talk, and I said at her birthday party too, I was like, it annoyed me at first.
Yeah.
Like when I first met her. I was like, girl,
whoa,
what's all these questions?
Yeah.
Tone it down.
Yes.
Why are you prying? And then now I'm like, Jesse, ask me questions. Please, like, what's going on? Something's inside.
Help me understand me.
Yeah.
It's a gift. It really is a gift.
And we always say too, that's how we met, was through her.
Oh yeah,
that's
look
right.
at that little connector over there. Okay, give us one last one.
Okay, last one. I want to hear both answers too. A 5 a.m flight. Specifically.
There's a lot to unpack there. If I got good rest and my kids didn't come in at 11 o'clock, you know what I mean? Mm. There's a gift to that, that there's no traffic on the road. Uh-huh. There's things about it that you're like, okay, my brain ain't working here. But it's pretty quiet. The airport tends to be quieter. Mm-hmm. There's things about that I like. I feel like I beat the day somehow. Like it's a cheat code. I feel I kind of feel better than everybody else. Like I'm just sitting in the lounge, like, what's up? I've already done stuff. Like you drove 8 miles.
Drinking a black coffee, just stiff. Full grown up.
Ugh. So my A1C don't get. Anyway, I don't know. I think that's a mixed bag. That's a mixed bag on that one. I don't know. But also, it's freaking five. You getting up at 3:30, 4, 3:45.
That's what I'm saying, is it's like it's getting weird. Up in the middle of the night at the same time.
Yeah.
But you do feel better than everybody else.
You do. Yeah. I just feel like I've arrived. Like I've made it.
I would say I like a 5 a.m. flight when it's about 7:30, 8 a.m. Then when it's gotten to that point of the day, then I'm to my I feel better than everybody type, because I'm like, it's the 3 a.m. wake up that I'm going to hate. I'm going to be nauseous because I didn't get enough sleep. It's too early in the morning. Mm-hmm. I'm tired. My brain's not working. Groggy. Woo, woo, woo. But then once you get about to that 7:30 a.m., I'm like, oh, I'm in my prime.
Yeah, dude.
Let's go. Thank you, 5 a.m. flight. This feels good.
Yes.
But it's that first part of the 5 a.m. flight that I'm like, no, thank you.
Yes.
And here's my caveat. I don't mind it if I'm going east to west.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Because then it's
true.
Still early when I land.
Yeah, you get time.
When I'm going like LA to New York and I'm landing and it's 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah, you're like, my day's gone.
And I'm like, but I
got up early.
Where did my day? Exactly. Yeah. I was like, I thought early bird gets to have the day.
Yeah.
No. Now the day is gone.
Yes.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, traveling back in time is better for sure. Mm-hmm. Pedro.
I love it.
What a gift this conversation was.
I hope so.
To me specifically. Like there's so many things that I can't wait to go process more. And I'm just so grateful for you coming and sharing your heart and your stories and your wisdom and your experience and what you've learned in therapy and all of that. I appreciate you.
It's my honor.
And I'm so grateful for you.
My honor. Thank you for time is life, right? So thank you for giving me time, but thank you for sharing your life with me, my family.
Yeah.
It means a lot. I'm gonna try not to cry.
Aww.
But both of you ladies, we love dearly and we look up to you. We talk good about you when you're around and when you're not. And that means you're really family. And thank so you. We love you. We love your husband. We love Rosie. We love the life you've built. We look up to you a ton.
He's right here.
Oh, sorry, Bonzo.
Thank you. Hello.
I know.
Bonzo's sorry, son.
Looking thin. Like
he meant you
out.
Too. Don't worry. No, appreciate you. Thank you, everybody, for watching and listening. Hey, real quick, tell everybody where they can find you if they want to like hear more
in
from
therapy.
You.
In therapy. Yeah. Oh, man. PedroLaTorre.com. That's the easiest place. And then everything else is on there.
Perfect. Yeah. Thanks, Pedro.
And then don't you have a book coming
I do.
Out?
Yeah, I do. You'll see it all there.
Okay.
I hate plugging stuff.
What is the book?
Yeah, July 18th, my wife and I's anniversary, actually. My second book drops. That's called The Purpose Mandate, A Living Beyond the Prison of Self. And it's everything we've talked about. So
wow, I love that.
If you've been encouraged or whatever, Amazon, you'll be able to see it on there. Check it out.
So
read it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah, thank you.
Amazing. Thank you all for listening and watching. We'll see you next time.